session right now. Please take your seats. Claude, please. Claude? Please? So now we'll have the presentation on the first results with radioactive ion beams at Aquilina 2 fragment separator by Andrei Fomichev. Andrei, please.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, many thanks for this possibility to inform you about first experiments with radioactive ion beams at Aquilina fragment separator. This is a new facility which was commissioned only 2 years ago, and now this separator is able to work with high-intensive primary beam, which could bombard the production target, is shown here, and provide quite intensive radioactive beam. Namely, here is a heliumate, which obtained recently and used in experiment several times with intensity 10 to the 5 particle per second, with energy 26 MeV per nucleon, with good enough purity, and focused in a spot 17 millimeters on the physical target. I would say this is a record for Europe, this kind of parameter for the beam. Recently, this setup was equipped the third heavy instruments, which named as radio frequency kicker or separator. The concept of this is quite simple. When the cocktail of beams moving in this gap, and we have a powerful radio frequency signal inside the resonator cup, we could change space of unwanted beam and significantly improve the beam purity up to 110. Now I would like to show you the scheme of the first flagship experiments, which was aimed to investigate hydrogen 7 in this reaction, I mean with helium 8 on the deuterium target to detect helium 3, low energy helium 3. Here is the kinematics and two setups. First setup was more simple. It consists only two arms telescope to detect helium-3 and telescope to detect triton. In the second case, April data, the acceptance of helium-3 particles was increased at least two times, and additional reference reaction was done to populate lithium-9 ground and first excited state to be sure that the method is working well and expected energy resolution is coincide with estimation. The efficiency in the case of main experiment, helium-7, the efficiency of helium-3 triton coincidence was about 65% in the first case and around 75%. Well, the key advantages, we have two advantages in this experiment. First of all, we should be able that helium-3 is separated well from our particles, mainly from alphas. Accurate thickness map measurement was done before using alpha source, and in the case of very thin silicon detectors, 20 micron thick, we obtained a very good separation of helium-3. The second advantage is to detection of triton and measure the energy with good enough angular resolution and energy resolution. It gives us a possibility to build a kinematical triangle where we have a red point which corresponds to hydrogen 7 events and a level of background, it's not more than 10%. The projection of red point on the missing mass energy spectra is shown here. We obtained 107 events in total, and were some events, five events in low energy spectra, and a bump around 6.5 MeV. Well, let's see in more detail with spectra. Again, triangles, projection on the missing mass spectra with different binning. It's not depend from a binning. We have a stable structure in low energy spectra and around 6.5 MeV. It could be a duplet of excited states. And bottom panel is the same reaction made carried out in Riken at high energy. The energy resolution in this case was briefly two times worse, and some evidence for this bump also could be. Correlation in hydrogen 7 center mass system give us information about events for ground state. Five events is distributed in energy scale of Triton and angles in this center of mass system. And if we can compare these events with theoretical calculation for valence neutron configuration, and we see a good agreement if the 2 MeV energy for resonance state is taken into account. Well, more details you will find in recent paper, which is ready for sending to physical letters journal. Well, preliminary summary for the first run, November last year. The indications for the ground state hydrogen 7 at 2 MeV are found in the measured energy and angular distributions. Quite a low population cross section, around 10 microbarn per steradian, was obtained for this state. It's agree with the previous result at the same reaction. But in the first case, it was only a limit for this cross-section, and the second case, it was measured the cross-section of three times, the level of three times higher. I'm sorry, something changed in numeration. The third conclusion is, for the first time, the hydrogen 7 excited state is observed at 6.5 MeV with width 2 MeV. It's probably a mix of 3 half plus and 5 half plus states built upon the 2 plus excitation of valence neutron or one of the doublet states. The data with more statistics, April run, these data are under analysis now, and this data will clarify the mentioned above statements. Well, the second flagship experiment was done this year in March. It was aimed to investigate lithium-10 low-energy spectra. This system was studied many, many times before in different reactions with pions, knockout reactions, transfer reactions, and others. Here you will see three examples of different reactions, namely the result of GSI, MSU, and Vancouver data. If we would like to extract a true structure for low energy spectra for lithium-10, we should be very careful for reaction mechanism and initial state of projectile. In the case of fragmentation reaction with lithium-11, we see a significant difference between this spectra and ours. So, our opinion is that the best way is very simple, one direct reaction, one neutron transfer from the target on the lithium-9, The mechanism is simple, and we could go inside the lithium 10 spectra. We need only good energy resolution and high statistics. The method is based on triple coincidence, which give us this solution. The method was proposed by Mikhail Golovkov, and the scheme of this experiment is shown here. Kinematics of for this reaction means that in the case of proton moving in backward direction, we have a good coincidence for all nuclear neutron and lithium 9 moving in narrow cone in forward direction. The energy resolution in at the same thickness of the target is strongly depend from the method. In the missing mass method, when we detect only lithium 9 and protons, the energy resolution around 6 kV. In the case of coincidence with proton, it's 3 times better. And this is a chance to have high statistics with good enough energy resolution. The scheme of setup is shown here. Layout of this is a real photo. Inside the chamber, we have a standard detectors to have interaction point on the target with accuracy around 1 millimeter. This is multi-wire, a couple of multi-wire chambers. The double-sided silicon anode detectors was installed here before the target. 2 layers of silicon detectors. Uniq-U detectors developed in our team to detect lithium 9. This is a very thin plastic scintillator which coupled with 4 multipliers, fast multipliers, and exit windows which give us the neutron, give us a possibility to detect a neutron via steel-band-based array. Mikhail Golovkov is happy to looking for this setup, and he analyzed the data. Let's see what we have here. This is the same data obtained at Vancouver with different scale and binning factor. In the case of low binning factor, we have a bump, maybe some splitting here, but in our case, the splitting of pay waves resonance on 1 plus and 2 plus is obviously seen from our data. The deviation of a spectra for the high energy is looking like this, and we are sure that at the first time we demonstrate what we have a splitting of resonance state in low energy spectra for lithium 10. So, preliminary summary for this kind of measurement is shown here. The combined mass method, namely a triple coincidence between proton, lithium 9 and neutron, is very promising for lithium 10 study and could be applied for other isotopes, for helium 7, 9 helium and other lithium isotopes. Here is some example which demonstrate the real energy resolution in this method regarding helium 7 spectra, which is known from the literature, and here we see a real energy resolution. High statistics and better quality for neutron detection will help us to clarify the lithium 10 low energy spectrum in more detail. This measurement is scheduled on the fall this year, and we hope that new information will be obtained. Well, now I am close to the final summary and outlook. First experiments at Aquilino 2 fragment separator, commissioned in 2017, were performed, and the obtained results demonstrate the high potential of this facility. Namely, new information about neutron-rich system hydrogen 7 and lithium 10 were obtained. BAF methods are very promising for the study neutron-rich systems, and we hope that it will be in the future. Now we are thinking about possibility of day two experiments, and a lot of proposal was done. Now we make some estimation, some simulation for three different kind of experiments. First of all, we are interesting for research sulfur 26 and phosphorus 25 and BAF unbound isotopes, which could be a product of a PT reaction from sulfur 28 and PT reaction and P helium 4 reaction. In this type of experiments, we need a radio frequency kicker, which could significantly improve beam quality, and this measurement could be done next year. Spectroscopy of carbon 9 is not need RF kicker, it could be done simply. So the third kind of investigation could be a multi-necron transfer reaction on heavy target induced by radioactive ion beam, low energy domain, in low energy domain, aimed on the production of nuclei with atomic number up to 110. This kind of reaction means barrier, fission barrier, some new elements property, etc. So the energy of this radioactive beam need additional test. We have some simulation and using very thick wedge in intermediate focal plane, we could have the energy around 10 MeV per nucleon and after that decrease a little bit by TOF detectors, etc. So now I would say many thanks for your attention and a core team of Aquarina 2. All details you will find via our sites. Many thanks again.
Thank you. Questions? Christian.
I have several questions and comments. On the last slides, you mentioned multi-nuclear transfer reaction studies, but I don't think that Aquarina 2 is the best device to do this kind of investigation. Can you comment on this?
This proposal was done by Professor Terakopian, and here you will see several examples having these beams. We could populate the nuclear from, let's say, from californium, heavy californium isotopes up to 106. So, of course, we need high-intensive radioactive beams, let's say 10 to the 8, maybe 7 at least, and the setup is looking very simple. We need a target, a set of silicon, a telescope to detect clusters in backward direction, and SIN plastic scintillator maybe to detect fission fragment in big enough.
Christian, maybe
as far as
Christian, maybe to your this question. So, for which beams you might expect these very high intensities, 10 to the 8? One or two examples.
Of course, it could be helium 6, lithium 9, beryllium 12. It's realistic. 10 to the 6.
6, you said 10 to the 8.
10 to the 8, of course, it's could be done using primary beam. Primary beam, which will focus well on the target. Primary beam on Aquarina 2 separator. When we could decrease the beam, make this beam with good energy resolution. This is the idea. Start, maybe Professor Terakopian will comment this issue.
But you have to degrade the beam to 5 MeV per
yes,
neutron.
Yes, yes.
So I guess, for, of course, for primary beam, it's possible. Radioactive, I don't see any chances.
Oxygen.
10 to the 8, you will not get. at 5 MeV per neutron starting.
It's, yeah, so it's only far away future, of course. Yes, you are right.
Christian, sorry.
As far as the physics program is concerned, you didn't mention the possibility to do some applied physics experiment. I mean, some activation experiments. Is there some plans on this?
Some application was done several times respect to test radiation hardness of silicon detectors. In the case of Aquilina 1, we bombarded silicon detectors by argon beams and had integral 10 to the 12 particles per centimeter square and study the destruction properties of silicon. It was only way, this way. Maybe we are open to our proposal, of course, yes.
I have a last question about hydrogen 7 experiment and results. Due to the fact that the efficiency is almost zero for energy particles, I don't understand why do you claim that you have some indication of the quantum state observation.
Close to a zero efficiency is quite high.
And also in the angular distributions, because you have a strong minima due to diffraction effects.
We could compare our data with Fresco simulation. Here there is some example. For the ground state, of course, we should move in this direction to make more efficiency for ground state. This is efficiency for previous run, I mean November. In the case of April run, the efficiency comes from 5 degrees in this center of mass system. We are waiting high efficiency in this angular range.
How do you want to increase the efficiency?
Okay, let's see the efficiency this is a green dotted line means efficiency for full missing mass spectrum. It's quite this is arbitrary units, but in this region it's quite high. I would say 55% regarding the maximum.
Yeah, but when you change the binning, I feel that the shape of the energy spectrum are quite different.
You are right. In this area, it's quite different. But here, we have a stable structure. Yeah, this region, only indication, it's difficult to say. We have only a limit of cross-section. You are right. It's difficult to say about parameters for this resonance state. It's true. Yeah.
Claude, please. Press the button. Yes.
Oh, no. You mentioned that you studied the carbon 9 to carbon 8 reaction. I just wonder, how are you producing carbon 9 targets?
Well, a good question, thanks. We have a plan to tune the Aquilina 2 on carbon 9 beam given from carbon 12 primary beams. So it's not so difficult to make a carbon carbon 9, and after that one neutron transfer on the target, PD reaction. Looks carbon 9 on proton target to detect deuteron in the exit channel.
I see. Thank you.
I have also one. It's between comment and question. This is to big extent the new facility. This is the highlight for the radioactive ion beam physics at the Florov Lab, and I think for the whole institute today. So it's very important to show the results, which are really highlights and striking, published of course, and with the nice statistics. I think from the results which you have shown, at least statistics is clearly missing. This is the weak point of the obtained data. And if you, I don't know, come back to the slide 6, or for example, or the slide 9, maybe, if you can go to slide 9, we see that, 9, yeah, this, with the spectra.
This one?
No, okay, then, any, this was also good, this one, for example. So these are previous experiments, and we see that even with the very, very high statistics, the results, the interpretation of the results is not trivial. I will really urge the collaboration to produce at least the data of this kind of statistics and this kind of quality with the detailed analysis, maybe for one or two reactions, not jump to many topics, but really to show the highlights. I think it's important for the facility and important for the visibility of the facility, that you have something what you can sell in the physical review letters on Nature, or you know, I don't know if this is easy to do, to get two or three times more time, more beam time, but produce really the statistics which is exceeding all previous experiments. I think it's really important.
Yes, you're right. Factor two, it's realistic, maybe three. We should think about it, yes. It's a good proposal. I agree with.
So this is realistic, yeah? You think
yes,
that...
Yes, two times is realistic.
For hydrogen 7 or for lithium 10, for
yes,
which
yes.
One?
Yes, we have this plan to repeat the measurement during 1 month and increase statistics significantly, at least factor two, maybe three, who knows.
Okay.
Good remarks. Yuri,
comment? Maybe to the microphone, if you can, to the microphone. No, it's that we can hear clearly.
It's a very good question about statistic, and very important what is reaction necessary used for study of structure this exotic nuclear. About lithium 10, you have 25 years ago very much experiment for study of structure of lithium 10. This is in stable beam. You have very good statistic for lithium 10 in Ganmatier Institute, von Herzen, Bolin, Kalpakcheva et al. And very good structure. You have 2 plus, 4 plus, 6 plus level. This very good statistic. Other experiment with Pi Meson in Los Alamos, collaboration with Moscow Engineering Institute and Professor Set. Also very good statistic and different level for lithium 10. Today exist parcel of lithium 10. What is your comparison in your experimental date and other experimental date? Bolin, Set, maybe Rigin also?
Well, of course, we accurately analyzed all of this data which was done before. And in the case of Bolin, results. Bolin was, and co-author, of course. We are, who first time indicate about splitting of pi wave resonance. In the case of Bolin data, we observed the first resonance at 0, 20, 24 kV and 530 kV. In different reaction. So the second who also could speak about possible splitting is MSU data. This is 1 plus and 2 plus, but this is 110 kV and 500 kV. In BAF measurement, the energy resolution was not better than 300 kV. In our case, it was better. This is a comment. We have unique energy resolution, which was confirmed by experimentally. It's shown here. It's very clear. So we could reach much better energy resolution in the case of moving a neutron array in forward direction from a target, 1 meter higher. This is the idea. This is a powerful tool to move inside the helium-10 structure and also our neutron-rich nuclei.
I don't see other questions and comments. Thank you very much, Andrei, for the presentation and the answers to our questions. And now we'll have the presentation of the proposal for the opening of a new project, construction of a prototype of the initial section of a high current linear heavy ion accelerator aimed at obtaining intense radioactive ion beams for basic research. Very long title, but we'll understand immediately what's behind. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much for this possibility. And as it was told, very long title, but actually the question is, this is a story about this prospective DERICA project, and the question is about feasibility of the basic facility of this project, Linac 100 accelerator, and about opportunity to get ready to construction of the whole facility. So just a few words about this project, and then I don't have enough time. I'll very soon proceed to technicalities of our proposal. So the situation in Fleurov laboratory was already outlined during today's talk. There's for near future, there are plans of for super heavies, there are plans for factory of super heavy elements construction, which is now in the stage of commissioning. For super light, so to say, elements, there is now active facility based on U400M cyclotron and Akulina 2. And U400M will be repaired, upgraded during the next year. So here the plans are also clear. But a couple of years ago, discussion was began where we have some ideas about long-term prospects and also about opportunities to work on a broad, how would say, in a broad field of nuclear chart. So if we have a look at what is happening in the world nowadays, there's huge increase in the scale of modern and prospective radioactive ion beam facilities. So the starting price tag is around 1-2 giga euro. This scale increase is connected with attempt to increase radioactive ion beam production via primary beam energy. And also because these facilities are so expensive, people try to make them very universal, positioning there a lot of instrumentation. This price tag is too high probably for us. And there's a good question. Is it possible to have world competitive radioactive ion beam program with relatively modest investment scale? Our idea is to limit universality of the facility and to go to the underdeveloped field. Such underdeveloped field in the model nuclear low energy nuclear physics was identified. This is empty ecological niche of the research done in the storage rings. There's lots of very interesting experiments possible here, like isochronous mass spectrometry, precision reaction studies on internal gas jet targets, atomic physics and radioactivity studies with stripped ions. And what is totally uncovered in the modern experimental curriculum is studies of radioactive ion beams in electron radioactive ion beam collider experiments. Just a couple of words about electron scattering. So, famous photo of Hochstetter, the godfather of the method. Aftermath is the radial properties of the nuclei are most important characteristics of nuclei, and electromagnetic probe provides very nice framework for these studies because it is reliably theoretically studied, and also it's ideologically very simple, so the whole ideology can be fit in just a couple of formulae. Cross-section expressed via form factor. Form factor is expressed as Fourier transform of charge density, and decomposition, first term of decomposition of the form factor provide you charge radius. But of course, which is very important, electron scattering provide complicated differential characteristic, which is electromagnetic fog factors, and also maybe inelastic form factors providing information about excitations of the nuclei. So if we have a look even on the simplest information, which is information about charge radius, around among 3,000 nuclides known so far, only for 900 the radii are measured. You can see it on this plot that broad fields of a prospective nuclear charge are not investigated. And for some nuclides, I would say, just few isotopes are known. So there's very broad field of research here which will not be exhausted in, reasonably observable future. So it is, there are good prospects for research in this field. Okay, our idea is this DERICA project, Dubna Electron Radioactive Isotope Collider Facility, with project emphasis re-accelerated radioactive ion beams, storage ring physics, including electron radioactive ion beam collider. Basic facility of this project is high current superconducting heavy ion CWE LINAC 100, this part. Then the primary beam goes into fragment separator, low energy buncher, gas stopping cell. Stopped radioactive ions are re-accelerated by LINAC 30 up to 30 MeV. Then they can be used for studies of reactions or for studies in the storage ring. This is low energy storage ring. Re-accelerate, further acceleration by fast ramping synchrotron, injection into high energy storage ring. Here, experiments on gas jet targets are possible, or even such funny things as experiments with neutron target can be considered. And of course, the last stage of this project is complex of electron radioactive ion beam collider. Okay, possible location for this project, we have enough space next to Flerov lab. So there's nice forest with a lot of berries and mushrooms. Unfortunately, we'll have to sacrifice that. And also big space for upgrade, for possible upgrade of this facility next to it. And if we have a look on the modern landscape of these radioactive ion beam factories, RIBEV, FEF, RIB, RAON in Korea, HEF in China, all of them have quite high primary beam energies. And it's already clear that having in mind our financing, we have no way to compete in the energy of primary beams. So the DERICA strategy for RIB production was taken that we focus efforts on very high intensity of primary beams with relatively modest energies, 100 to 160 MeV. So advantages of this approach is easier to study direct reactions, getting the secondary beams from fragment separator at 20 to 70 MeV, and easier to work with stopped beams, with stopped radioactive beams, and then provide their reacceleration. So the first challenge, and maybe the main challenge of this project, is to construct record high current. It is considered, for example, light beams up to 3 electric milliamps, and uranium beam up to 1 electric milliamp, heavy ion superconducting CW LINAC. Advantages of the proposed facility, it has quite unusual layout. There are two ordinary accepted approaches. There are ISOL type of radioactive ion beam production. Then for experiments for making reactions, for example, you need to re-accelerate these beams. If you make in-flight production for experiments with stopped beams, you have a problem to stop. There's in-flight radioactive ion beam production, radioactive ion beam cooling in gas cell, and re-acceleration up to something like 500 MeV. Project have very staged development, which provides continuity and flexibility of the research program, low technological risks, and high upgradability design. The unique opportunities include world most intense radioactive ion beams for direct reactions for 2070 MeV energy range, and re-accelerated radioactive ion beams up to 500 MeV, and of course, the most expressed point is electron radioactive beam collider experiment. Political wise, we have a letter of intent now being published in Russian Physical Review Journal Physics Uspekhi. You can get information on this site. There's lots of information on the current progress of this project. During the last year, it have got probably sufficient visibility. It was there were presentation two times on the Russian Academy of Science meetings. There were specialized meetings like ECT workshop on probing exotic structure of short-lived nuclei by electron scattering, or technical meeting of multidisciplinary research with unstable beams provided by International Atomic Energy Agency. And also in April 2018, this project was submitted to Russian Ministry of Education and Science on the call for proposals to build mega science class facilities on the territory of Russian Federation as joint venture for GNR and Budker Institute in Novosibirsk. In September 2018, evaluation by Russian Academy of Science positioned Derika in the top of the proposal list. It is clear that we can wait for ages for this mega science financing or for this mega science project status. However, it was decided that we should proceed with the project and start from the most beginning. And this beginning is construction of Linac 100 as the basis facility of this project. First Derika workshop was conducted in the February of this year, and there was declaration of the most urgent task to start development of the front end for Linac 100 immediately. This stand was supported by GIM Directorate for the year 2019, with allocated resources of something like $650 kilo. And now we're discussing the necessity to open new research project for Joint Institute for Nuclear Research for the years 2020-2021. Decision to be made now, and expected resources allocated something 1,400,000 for year 2020 and 1,450 for year 21, and we expected output of this activity by the end of 2021 that we have TDR and prototypes for Linac 100 and CDR for Derika. Recommendations of this workshop signed by Linac accelerator experts mainly, the R&D works for the prospective Linac front end, which consists of new generation 28 gigahertz ECR ion source and RFQ, should be started ASAP, as this is the most long-term development in the Linac construction. So this is the basic idea. And how these plans exactly look like. So for Linac 100, we need to coin the concept. There's good question whether we should use one front end universal for A to Z ratio 3:8, or two front ends with different A to Z ratio. It's unclear what should be the ratio of normal conducting and cryogenic superconducting part of the accelerator. There are questions about tactics of acceleration, A to Z, strippers, and so on. The second line of development should be development of prospective ECR ion source, 28 gigahertz, which can feed Linac 100 with sufficient intensity of primary beams. Designed by Flerov Lab, magnetic system by NIEFA, and RF system by IAP from Nizhny Novgorod. And it is important task to conjugate this prospective ECR ion source with new linear accelerator, and this should be solved by prototyping front end for Linac 100, which this prototype will consist from test ECR for very high current, up to three sections of RFQ, and test assembly, ECR, RFQ, and low energy beam transport line to provide their conjugation. This should be done by the end 2021. TDR for Linac 100, front end prototype, and prototype paths for the new prospective ECR. There are important challenges which are beyond Linac 100. One of these challenges is fragment separator. Without fragment separator, we have no secondary beams, so our linear accelerator is useless. And if we consider the aim for primary beams, like 3 electric milliamps of calcium or 1 electric milliamp of uranium. The power in a beam will be around 1,500 kilowatts for calcium or 600 kilowatts for uranium, which will put enormous thermal and radiation load to their production target and corresponding area. Here are shown some pictures of super FRS fragment separator showing how massive could be this production area. You may see on this plot distribution of radiation fields and shielding, which is 2 meters, about 2 meters of iron and about 6 meters of concrete in the most radiation heavily load area. So it is really a challenge to radiation loads could be comparable at this proposed facility, and it is really a challenge to make this project properly. So by the end of 2021, CDR for production target, radiation shielding, and DFS should be ready. And also there's challenge of ring branch. So there's low energy storage ring for energies 3 to 30 MeV, shape probably hexagon. There's this fast-ramping synchrotron, which should accelerate, re-accelerate ion beam, secondary beams up to 500 MeV. High energy storage ring for energies from 100 to 500 MeV with probably square shape. And of course, electron rib collider facility, electron linac, electron storage ring, collision point, and electron spectrometer. And questions everywhere mark facilities which should be totally redesigned for this project. By the end of 21, the Butker Institute is going to produce major part of CDR for the ring branch. It could be told that it's a bit preliminary to dream about this full-scale facility, but in reality, before we begin construction of linear accelerator, we need to be confident how the rest of the facility should be laid out, not to make mistake, which will lead, for example, to problems in the forthcoming construction of the Dedica project. Just a few slides about what is situation with different parts. These are slides from my colleagues. So this is situation with ECR sources in Fleurov laboratory. This is line of the so-called Dekris Dubna ECR ion sources through the years. There are different types installed in our accelerators or in different facilities in the world. The last one was Dekris PM mounted on the DC-280 cyclotron of the super heavy element factory. Here's the picture of this ion source. You may see, looking at these values, you may see that this ion source is too powerful for actually for DC-280 accelerator. It is saturating this accelerator, more or less. And analogous ion source is going to be used for the test bench for Linac 100 using much lighter and less charged ion, but with much more intense current mode. So this is idea of the approach. Just first vision of the layout for normal conducting part of linear accelerator for Dedica, provided by Timur Kulevoy. So this is RFQ part and two DTL parts with different acceleration frequencies. And if you have a look on the table with parameters, it is useful to notice that the idea is to accelerate primary beams up to around 7 MeV per nucleon, which will make possible operation of the starting normal conducting part of Linac 100 accelerator just without any cryogenics, so you can get primary beams for reactions, very intense primary beams for reactions around Coulomb barrier without going into cryogenical part at all. So about cryogenics, there's program under development, not in Russia, in Minsk, but how to say, this is done in close collaboration with Russian Federation. So it is financed by Russian Federation, and they have, for example, they know how to make niobium cavities. Now they're mastering complicated task of building half-wave and quarter-wave resonators for superconducting part of prospective programs of linear acceleration construction in Russian Federation. Okay, so now we turn to more technical issues, or more maybe how to say formal issues. So for year 2019, we have got support from GIND Directorate. This was because adding certain money to the FLEUROF laboratory budget due to the budgetary funds returned from the year 2018. This money directed to development of the front-end prototype of high current heavy iron Severinek. This is the amount. And this is situation how this money are used so far. These are contracts which are already mastered. So one is Moscow Engineering and Physics Institute for development of the superconducting path for accelerator driver Linac 100 for Derica. So this is mainly beam dynamics and, I would say, construction of the superconducting path. Contract with ITEP, simulation of beam dynamics and electrodynamics of resonators for normal conducting CV RFQ. So this is majorly about RFQ construction and normal conducting part. Contract with ENR Troitsk, development of bunch diagnostics set up for prototype front end for high current heavy ion accelerator. And with Institute of Analytical Instrumentation in St. Petersburg, TOR ion optics for the prospective linear fragment separator. Four contracts are awaiting, signature, or they are now under discussion. Contract with NIFA for 28 gigahertz ion source. Contract with Nizhny Novgorod for radio frequency power supply for prospective ion source. With VNITF Snezhinsk for manufacturing of RFQs, prototypes. And with Butker Institute for CDR for ring branch. Proposal for the new opening, this new project. So this long title about linear accelerator. This project is to be supplement for the physical program of the project development of the FLEUROF lab accelerator complex and experimental setups DRIPS 3 for the years 2020-2021. Project leaders Grigorenko Kulevoy. Timur Kulevoy is deputy director of Kurchatov Institute for the direction of accelerator construction. Andrei Fomichov is leader of Akulina 2 facility, and he is responsible for the majority of technical developments in this project. Andrei Efremov is the responsible person in the FLEUROF lab for 28 gigahertz ECR development. Sergei Polozov is chief of the radio frequency developments in Moscow Engineering Physics Institute, who will work majorly on the superconducting part of the accelerator. So the budget request, main money should go, so this is for year 2020, for year 2021, main money should go into manufacturing of the RFQ prototypes and prototypes for parts of 28 gigahertz ECR ion source, but also there are certain money allocated for paper R&D within the whole Derica project, like fragment separator, gas cell, MR-TOF, and ring branch. Collaboration includes a lot of institutions from Russia and abroad on different topics, you may see here. And of course, it should be understood that I am working as a kind of talking head for this project. I am a theoretician specialized in reaction theory, so I understand how to operate such a facility. But these people who are forming the team of this Derica project are hopefully real experts who know how to do real things and construct real devices. So to finalize, there are two modalities of this project. One is development of Linac 100 plus DFS, which is a realistic option to replace aging U400A cyclotron and give bright future to existing radioactive ion beam program at FLEUROF lab. If this project is successfully developing, we are getting chance to go further with this large-scale DERICA project, which is in a certain sense not a project with well-defined endpoint, but a strategy for low-energy nuclear physics development and joint institute and its member states for the forthcoming 50-30 years. Hereby, I am calling you to support our project, which is construction of prototype of the initial section of the high current heavy ion lead accelerator for the production of intense radioactive ion beams for basic research. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Grigori. Okay, before we go to the questions, I would like to congratulate the whole team with this new initiative, which has many aspects which are original and really going towards completely new physics developments in this for exotic nuclei. So this is really very important initiative for the lab. But we have to ask the questions, and if you have questions from the committee, please start.
Yeah, I fully agree that it's an original project. I am a little bit surprised by the fact that you are claiming that the technological risks are low. And I mean, as far as cavities, cryogenics, RFQ, niobium, and so on, do you need experts? Do you have a lot of this kind of experts on site in Dubna? And what about the human resources as far as the technology is concerned?
We have no experts at Dubna so far in this particular technology. And moreover, this technology was lost in Russian Federation. And there exists a whole program which is promoting recovery of technology of high frequency superconductivity in Russian Federation, having in mind that our project of linear accelerator construction is not the only one. People are very keen to build superconducting linear accelerators on several prospective projects here in this country. This project, this program was initiated by Grigory Trubnikov via the line of collaboration with Belarus, and this project is actively developing. I cannot comment for whether they will attain, whether they will get to really functioning product in observable future. Of course, if they fail, we will have to stick to the superconducting technology of other providers. So there's nice technology in developments in Leniaro, there's nice developments in Arcea, there's nice, very interesting types of new superconducting cavities constructed at GSI. So it is, this is real life.
You may also mention Argonne National Lab.
Okay, but they have very important advances, they have very important developments. However, collaboration with the United States is not very not very easy nowadays. So we hope for collaboration with people from there, but just technically it's complicated.
Okay. I have a set of questions because apparently Abreu referees could not attend in person this meeting, but I have also questions suggested by some of them. One of the important questions, probably not only to you, but to the lab management, probably the question was the suggested question: what's the interplay between the resources which are necessary for this development and the beginning of operation of the super heavy element factory? I think this is also should probably opinion of the whole committee that we should not have any conflicts between these two things. Yes, please.
Dear colleague, First of all, yes, today we say only about prototype of linear accelerator. We not discuss Derek. Please take to account. Derek is mega science project. It's not the Flora Flap project. It's mega science project which need for at least $300-400 million. The budget of the Flora Flap is about 100 million per 7 years. You take and understand what it means. But Derek is very good, but Derek don't have the need, not need the floor of infrastructure. It's a real independent project. It's linear cyclotron, ring, and so on. And it's today we say 28 megahertz ECRN source is quite interesting. I must tell you, the first time this ECRN source was proposed like future for factory of super heavy element, not for Derek project. Linear cyclotron. Okay, we can consider this linear accelerator like future for exotic nuclei and flora flap instead of the U400M, but not Derek like whole project. We don't have additional money, we don't have staff for this huge project. But today we discuss only project prototype of linear accelerator.
Yeah, I think it's absolutely clear. Thank you.
It's other questions.
But, however, there is still the staff of the Flora Flap which is participating in this initial stage.
Of course, but it's not quite much. Quite many people. I tell you.
This was in the proposal. We know exactly the resources.
No, Mark. ECRN source. It's interesting not only for this project. It's interesting for factory of super heavy element. First time. Second, linear gas accelerator. It's also quite interesting not only for our laboratory. It may be the future. Instead of the U400M. But Derek, like whole project, I need to repeat, it's a mega science project.
We are not talking about Derica project please, today at all. Yeah, so this was not on the agenda.
I don't have obligation to say it about Derica. You can ask the vice directors, you can ask director general if they find money. It's not our obligation, sorry.
Okay. Then, of course, we have to continue the questions which we have for this project, maybe a little bit more detailed questions. As we'll not talk about Derica, definitely it's not a modest investment. So as it was just said, and it was mega science project. I hope it will be presented with probably in 2 years, I guess, as the whole project with CDRs and TDRs, which will be developed during these 2 years, it will be presented at the committee, but then as a full project, so we'll discuss in all details. It was mentioned also by the technical committee, which you mentioned on your slide, that the collaboration with other labs already developing or having superconducting LINAX is absolutely necessary in this context in order to keep the times also the timeline which you mentioned. In 2 years are important milestones to be reached. So how this collaboration will be organized? You mentioned that there are labs already collaborating, but this will be, I don't know, working group or the committees, or how this will be organized? It's really almost at everyday level which this kind of collaboration is necessary?
No, there are practical collaboration which is already functioning. It means that experts from the mentioned labs are already working for us on the contract basis. But also there are organized special events, for example, workshops, where we try to invite all possible experts and to get input to report on the progress of what has been done and to get input from everybody who can advise on these issues. One of such workshops will be held in the end of summer in Crete, and we hope to invite the people who will, for example, from United States, who have now uncomfortable time to go to Russia directly, for example. So I think that we have these two very practical ways to build collaboration, and it seems to be working now. Is it?
So I think that we'll say a few sentences more on that. Of course, there are many experts in Europe. Maybe the collaboration in this case is easier. But I think it should be firmly established. It cannot work once every 3 years, one committee, from experts. I'm pretty sure that this timeline, which you mentioned in 2 years for some CDRs and TDRs, is very tight. If you don't have the support, really, of the external experts, not from Russia, because as far as I know, there are no superconducting Linux yet in Russia, but from other countries, I think it's extremely important. If you want to keep the timeline, if you want to have, of course, more time, I think everything will be possible to develop with all our Russian institutions. It's the compromise between timeline, expertise, and what you want to develop yourself, and which expertise you need from outside.
It would be a very valuable recommendation by the committee if you will recommend us to strengthen such cooperation on the national level. Thank you.
Just a small comment about particularly working people. So we have people from Germany, actually, from GSI Accelerator Group, directly contributing to the project. Vladimir Zvyagintsev, Vitaly Zvyagintsev, who is head of RF operations at Vancouver, expressed willingness to transfer their technology of resonators to Minsk, if Minsk manages the technological issues of production. And there is very good collaboration with Italian group, so which have many years works with tradition of collaboration with ITEP people. So these are already people who are already really participating in the project, not just coming and telling something, they just make things, make calculations, I don't know, try to decide this or that problems and so on.
Yes, please.
My question not to Leonid, to Sergei Dmitriev. For TDR, CDR, you need at least $3 million. You have this money in your budget?
For this year, for decision of directorate, or general directorate, we receive additional six. Sorry, we not have in our budget for the next 2 years additional 2.5 million according to our 7 years plan. Only if the directorate give additional money for this project.
It's not from budget of laboratory.
Yes. Okay, two very short last questions. One is on the development of the target. It's mentioned here even on this slide, of course. But I think is in my opinion, but also in opinion of many experts which we had at different occasions, is as urgent and as critical as the development of the front end on the beginning of the linear accelerator. It should be demonstrated, it was never demonstrated up to now in the history, that this kind of powers at low energy of the beam, relatively low energy, can be really supported at any target. So this is extremely urgent, because you might have the accelerator with the right intensity, but not the target which supports it. So this should include not only CDR, but the prototyping and some tests with electron beams or whatever. So I don't know if this is included already in this part of the project or not. Mm?
I totally agree with you that so far we were so busy with other things that this part of project was underestimated, and we need to invest much more attention to this aspect. However, I need to make small correction to your statement, because we, how to say, the complexity of the issue may be not so high as you mentioned, because we are working with low energy beams. We may need to work with quite thin targets, which are not so horribly thermally loaded. So we expect that level of our problems will be on the level of 1 for 3. So something like that.
And very last question, but it's quite striking that in fact there are two developments on the calculation level for two superconducting cleanups going on at GNR. One for this project and one for Pluton. Are there the synergies between both of them? And how this is organized? Are there the same institutions taking in charge the development for both linear accelerators?
There's not so much teams who are capable to develop linear accelerators in Russia. More or less, it's the same people. The situation organizationally is like follows. For Linac 100, the works have already started. For neutron source, it is not yet decided whether they would use the design with linear accelerator or whether they use the design without linear accelerator, as far as I understand. So they are more like in the stage of conceptual discussion where they need it at all. So I think it is a considerable difference between these two situations.
Okay. Okay. Any other questions? So if you are talking
my remarks. Remarks concerning that if we open some project in our topical plan, it means that financing of this project must be in framework of budget of laboratory. You look at the topical plan, any topical plan. Maybe grant will be very small on next year.
Sorry, it's a new project.
From director.
The idea, this project, only 1 year. The 7 years plan for this 7 years.
Yeah.
It's 4 years ago.
Yeah, I know, Sergei.
How we can predict that we will need money for this project?
Nevertheless, for example, if on next year the grant of directorate will be very small for all institute, what we will do?
Sorry. 1/2 year ago, I prepared a letter, official letter, to general director, in which indicate that we expect to open new project 3 years and indicate total sum which we need for this project, including this year, $650. Why you give us first part? Not thinking about the second. I ask 3 years budget.
Okay. So these are going a little bit beyond the deliberation of the PAC for nuclear physics. I think that maybe one point which would be useful, but this can be done at the next meetings, next presentations, to have also this vision for longer term than just 2 years. I understand why it was divided into two parts, but there are many tasks, as you mentioned also, and this is written in the document, are going beyond these 2 years. So it would be nice to have also the money which are necessary, also the timeline for different tasks for more than 2 years, because most of them will go beyond 2 years. Okay, so this is I think this will be done in the future, yes.
Just a small comments here. Now we have problem to argue or to ask about money for the next 2 years. And of course we hope that if these developments succeed, so if we have really working prototypes and significant advance in this direction, possibly next time we'll be discussing it in a much better position, the prospects of further investments in this field. This is maybe a good idea, rather than to ask immediately for a very long-term project which is not clear whether worth support.
Okay. Yes.
Please show budget request in the 2 years. In total, the sum in roads is good, but in total, sum in the roads is good, but each roads up, sum is not good. You can show, you can see. Sum in the roads is not good.
You mean something something is wrongly calculated?
Yeah,
but the total is good.
Yeah, probably 2019
okay,
is missing.
Okay, so it is, I'll say.
2019, which you obtained already the grant in 2019, is probably missing here.
Okay, so I just taken it, I have not. Means the project was not sufficiently carefully prepared, what can I tell?
Yeah, that's indeed, that's sometimes it's higher, sometimes it's lower.
Okay.
No? Okay, Leonid, you can put also arrow bars here, this if you want to myself the problem. Thank you very much. I followed the discussion. I think it was interesting discussion for the first time for this project. Thank you. And we have a lunch now. Yes. And we'll reconvene at 3. At 3, please be back here.